This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio on the Liberty News Radio Network. We are red hot and rolling. We are live. It is Saturday, November the 6th, 2021, approximately 9 minutes after the hour. Walter, how are we doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. Otherwise, other than that, I'm still trying to figure out if Jim Morrison really died in Paris in 1971. But other than that, I'm good.
What makes you bring up Jim Morrison and his death 50 years ago?
Yeah, nothing. I mean, you know, there was some music when I was on my way going out tonight. There was some music, some Doors music that was playing. And you hardly ever hear that on the radio now. But just got me thinking if he really, you know, died in that bathtub in 1971, or did he stay alive long enough to write Eddie and the Cruisers, you know?
Right. But anyways, we'll talk about that at a later time. We want to say a special hello to Little Billy Keebler and the cellar savers of the Onondagas, New York Fire Department. Welcome aboard, gentlemen and lady. Hopefully everything is fine over in Meth Lab County. First order of business, as always, we want to remember members of the law enforcement community that were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight, we want to remember Senior Patrolman Sherman Otto Benz, Jr. of the Kingsville, Texas Police Department. End of watch, Thursday, November 4th, 2021. Patrolman Benz was succumbed to gunshot wounds sustained 3 days earlier while responding to a domestic. Anyways, his killer is alive in custody. Anyways, Walt, usually we come on the show, we always have bad news, and we don't want to give, you know, bad news all day, every day. But this week, finally, we have some good news. Unless you just came back from Mars, we did it, folks. We won 2 out of 3 elections. What do I mean? We endorsed 3 people for public office. First, we want to say congratulations to Trish Bergen, who won Suffolk County Legislature for the 10th District. Ms. Bergen is the very good-looking sister of Sean Bergen, our brother-in-arms here at Liberty News Radio, and we went for her full force. She did win her district, and look for hopefully Suffolk County can get their financial affairs in order, and look for Ms. Bergen to continue support the men and women in law enforcement. In New York, unfortunately, Curtis Lewa did not win the mayorship. I guess all the other than the people live in Staten Island, all the conservatives, all the normal people, they moved out of the city of New York and they voted for a glorified desk jockey who fought the hard streets of the various station houses in the city of New York, talking about Eric Adams. Let's just hope New York can survive Adams administration. But anyways, finally, in Virginia, Glenn Youngkin won Virginia. Glenn Youngkin, who is a political novice, he has held no elective office that we know of. He's a private citizen in the private industry. He ran for governor. He ran against former governor Terry McAuliffe, who is a Washington insider, who was a fundraiser for the Democratic Party, a good personal friend of the Clintons. And he beat Terry McAuliffe, which is shocking for the simple fact that Virginia has went from deep dark red to blue. Why did it go blue? Because all these interlopers from up north, including yours truly, came down and brought their crummy politics with them. They lived in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. They voted themselves out of prosperity, voted themselves out of jobs. Now they come to Northern Virginia, which is turning more and more like Illinois. You have the Chicagoland area, then you have the rest of Illinois. Same thing here in Virginia. And unfortunately, Northern Virginia runs the rest of the state. Virginia no longer has capital punishment, but hopefully with Governor Youngkin, he brings back capital punishment. But anyways, it was very interesting. Yours truly actually went to the Youngkin party headquarters at a hotel near my house in Northern Virginia. And I said, all right, well, I crashed plenty of other things. Let's see what I can do here. So as the results are coming back almost at midnight, I happened to go to the hotel. It was the Marriott near Dulles Airport. And I walked right in. I felt like Ron White's bit about playing golf on a very elaborate golf course. Like, nobody's stopping me. And I walked in. Of course, the media's there. And the people there were just having a good time, just celebrating. I was like, wow. I just walked in, and I, you know, literally off the street. It was a fun time was had by all. But again, you know, we're there. We are everywhere. We're at CPAC. We're at these. We're at governor victory celebrations. We're at political campaigns, political rallies. We are there. We are everywhere. But anyways, it's very interesting because Terry McAuliffe did nothing but throw mud and throw race into everything, which is part of the Democrat playbook. And Governor Youngkin, he played moderate. He says, like, you know what? I support men and women law enforcement, and I support parents' right to speak out at school board meetings. So anyways, when the results came in and Youngkin was finally declared the winner, the dumpster fire media just lost their minds. They kept calling Youngkin a racist. This is a racist move. Every word is a dog whistle for racism. Every word in the English language. Racism, 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 racism. And you watch this, and you would think that either like some KKK grand wizard like Robert Byrd or Richard Spencer was the running for lieutenant governor, or nobody was running for lieutenant governor. But the person who won the lieutenant governor position was a lady named Winsome Sears, who happens to be an immigrant from Jamaica. So as these liberals on TV were just actually having a meltdown, nobody's mentioning Winsome Sears, the first black female lieutenant governor for the Commonwealth of Virginia. Now, it shouldn't be a point to say, I'm voting for her because she's black, she's a woman. No. I voted for her because she wasn't on the McAuliffe ticket. But anyways, we come back. We got elections. We got January 6th news. Also, we got people visiting the doctor in Gotham. Stay tuned, everybody. 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network. Take away, boys.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is Peter Scoop staying with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. Check us out, 7-5Radio.org, 7-5Radio.org. We are reviewing our election coverage in Virginia. I was talking about the dog whistle. Every word in the English language is dog whistle for racism, according to MSNBC. The lieutenant governor is named Winsome Sears, a female born in Jamaica, who immigrated to the U.S. and then enlisted in the U.S. Marine Corps. But she's been totally ignored by the mainstream media. The mayor of Boston, who is a Asian female, is the first Asian female in Boston. She was praised, but the lieutenant governor in Virginia, right now she's been ignored. But look for her to be called an Uncle Tom Coon sellout by the left. This is the same media that praised Stacey Abrams, who lost. Another good note in Virginia, the touchy-feely Lincoln Project, who likes to get touchy-feely with the help, had a group of Democrat operatives dressed up as the Charlottesville protesters from 2017 with tiki torches in front of Glenn Youngkin's bus. And it was an absolute failure because everybody knew it was a hoax. One of the people happened to be a black man. So anyways, Walt, what's your take on the election victories across this nation?
Well, I'm wondering if Kamala Chameleon, since she's the from the Caribbean, did she call the new lieutenant governor there in Virginia and congratulate her for being, you know, an immigrant elected to a high office? I thought, you know, even though she's from a different party, I thought Kamala was all about, you know, women advancing in the world and, you know, in our society. I bet she called that Asian from, what was it, Connecticut, Massachusetts, because she's from Asian descent too. So I'm wondering, Massachusetts, same thing. Don't say Boston. That's a dirty word when you're talking to me. if Kamala, you know, practiced what she preached, well, you know, come think of it. Where the hell is Kamala? Anybody know where she is?
I don't know.
Hell ain't down at the border. She's not down at the border. She was with wherever Joe was today, when Joe announced his $400 trillion thing or whatever the hell it was. Something I saw on the news briefly earlier tonight. Right. But he knows where the hell. Maybe I ought to go look underneath my desk. Maybe she's here.
I don't think so. But anyways, you know that she's not going to call Lieutenant Governor-elect. But another funny she mentioned Sleepy Joe and Kamala. They came to Virginia for Terry McAuliffe and did absolutely nothing. And they were in Arlington County, which is the bluest of blue counties, which is literally right across the Potomac River from downtown Washington, D.C. And you had people show up at the rally yelling, "We love Trump." How embarrassing is that? You got a sitting president, you got the Democratic nominee for the governor at a rally, and people show up and yell, "We love Trump," and they were louder. There are probably more people for "We love Trump" than for Terry McAuliffe. But anyways, some sad news of this election. Unfortunately, Governor Murphy supposedly won the election in New Jersey, but I kind of doubt that because his opponent was up, then Murphy was up, and then his opponent was up. And they've, of course, it's the same old, it's right out of the Democrat playbook again. They found more votes after they counted the all the ballots. And then in South Jersey, the president of the Senate, I forgot the guy's name, it's not important, he lost to another political novice who drove a truck for Ray Moore's and Flanagan's Furniture, who spent a total of $153 on his campaign, which is mostly for coffee and donuts, literally. But now it's this gentleman won. Now supposedly he lost. But anyway, look for more shenanigans out of the Garden State. But anyways, one of the best things about Youngkin, when I was driving over to the hotel to go to the victory rally, he said he was for school choice, for public school choice. He wanted to have more charter schools for public schools. Students, which was really about the hair of my neck, made it stand up, because a couple weeks ago we had Cal Thomas on, and he told me, he says, "You need to get your kids out of public schools," and he was 100% correct. But unfortunately, the price of private schools is like sending your kids to college. I'm not making this up. And even the price of Catholic schools, which back in the day was dirt cheap, is almost as much as tuition to a decent school. But hopefully Youngkin follows through with the school choice, because one of the reasons why the so-called white women in the suburbs voted for Youngkin was because Youngkin felt the parents are being left out of the school board meetings, which they were. And of course, was on during debate, said parents should not tell teachers what to teach. McAuliffe also said that there is no critical race theory taught in Virginia schools, and it turns out that Governor McAuliffe, when he was in office, signed an order ordering critical race theory to be taught in schools. But anyways, let's hope Virginia goes back to what it once was. You know, people can fly the Confederate flags. They're not tearing down every other statue and renaming stuff for Confederate heroes. But anyways, moving right along, Walt, take the next story about the getting the jab in our hometown of New York with the fire and police departments.
Yeah, it's coming down to where if you're a first responder, a New York City Police Department officer, EMT, you know, hired by the city, it's becoming mandatory that they get the injections of this COVID inoculation vaccine, whatever the hell you want to call it. And they're staging the sick out. I don't blame them. I don't blame them at all. The mayor, and I use that term loosely, the current mayor, Bill de Blasio, just is coming up with an interior task force. Now, anybody who hasn't been with the NYPD or FD, they have a particular unique type of sick out system if you're sick. In this regard, you have to go to, when you report sick, you need to go to see they call them the surgeon, the police surgeon or the fire surgeon. It's just a doctor that can't find a job anywhere else that you go to and you tell him you're sick.
Yep.
And he writes it down and you go home. You know, there's no examination. He can't examine you. And that's it. And then you have to stay home. You can't go anywhere else. You're pretty much confined to your home, because way back in the 50s and 60s, when cops, you know, went out sick, they, you know, for 5 months, they'd get paid, but they'd have another job, you know. So this is how they control that. But be that as it may, de Blasio is putting together a task force to visit each and every sick out officer, firefighter, EMT, what have you, to make sure that they're home and to make sure that they're sick. Now, you're allowed to go see your own doctor, of course. And if your own doctor signs a form that you're sick, you have a fever, or you have the flu, or your testicles are overswollen, it don't matter. The police department cannot examine you to see if you're sick. They can't even take your temperature. That's not in the contract. That's never been in the contract. So you got de Blasio now, you know, wanting to fire everybody that's gone out sick. And, you know, and that's just ridiculous. You can't do that. The city's in bad enough shape, but with the cops retiring.
Yep. Anyways, when we're coming up, we'll be talking about the January 6th, what really happened. Tucker Carlson got a hell of a documentary out. But stay tuned, everybody.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
New unemployment numbers from the Labor Department were just released. The number of Americans seeking first-time jobless benefits dropped again last week. Initial filings for unemployment benefits, seen as a proxy for layoffs, fell to 269,000. That's down 14,000 from the prior week's level. The Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration, or OSHA, is giving employers with more than 100 employees a January 4th deadline to comply with President Biden's COVID-19 vaccine mandate and threatening thousands of dollars in fines for defiant businesses. Considering an airborne virus outside of a hospital environment a work hazard is a first for the agency. Separate from OSHA, the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services are issuing a rule to require health workers in facilities that participate in Medicare and Medicaid be fully vaccinated. The CMS rule also goes into effect January 4th. This is USA Radio News.
With confusion around vaccinations, masks, and public screenings, it's important to know the symptoms of COVID and its variants. Fever is the leading sign, so make sure to use an accurate thermometer for your family. Only the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate with more than 100 clinical studies. Non-contact thermometers have no clinical evidence behind them and cannot be relied on. Be vigilant and be accurate with Exergen. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
From city streets to back roads, from road warrior to carpooler, there are some things you can always count on, like the reliability, durability, and power of DieHard, America's most trusted auto battery. No matter where your journey takes you, count on DieHard to get you started on the road ahead. Available at your local Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest stores.
Although a recount has been requested, it looks as if the governor's mansion in New Jersey will not have a new occupant.
Thank you, New Jersey!
No, that's not Bruce Springsteen, but it is the newly reelected New Jersey governor, Democrat Phil Murphy, celebrating last night after Tuesday's election results finally came into focus. It appears he has won with a lead of under 20,000 votes over the Republican challenger, Jack Cittarelli, a New Jersey Assembly member. Governor Murphy celebrating
the first Democratic governor reelected in the great state of New Jersey since my dear friend, the late Governor Brendan Byrne, did this in 1977.
In the New England Bureau of USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The company Smartmatic filed separate defamation lawsuits against Newsmax and One America News Network Wednesday, accusing the networks of knowingly peddling disinformation about its voting technology during the 2020 presidential election. They say a disinformation campaign harms Smartmatic's business model. USA Radio News.
you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is Peter Scoop staying with Walter Yerkew on 7-5 Radio. You heard all over on the Liberty News Radio Network. And during the news break, OSHA has ordered employers with 100 or more employees that they are mandated to make sure the employees are vaccinated. That is overstepping the power of the federal government. And, of course, you hear nothing from the civil rights people, from the ACLU and other communist organizations telling people to go get the jab or else. There's nothing in federal law that says you must be vaccinated or get a treatment or don't get treatment. That's totally against your right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And hopefully somebody, Judicial Watch or some other group, will take up the cause and stop the Biden administration from jabbing everybody. See, it's no longer a health issue because it's not. People that get it, they get it and either recover or they don't and go to the great beyond or get called home to the Lord. But for the most part, people are getting better. You have a 99% and change success rate of overcoming the disease. But it's just nothing but power. They want you to get the jab. If you don't get the jab, you don't get the vaccine, you're going to face the consequences. You got to wear these masks. You got to stay 6 feet apart. Local governments are enforcing all these crazy health restrictions, putting businesses out of commission and so on and so forth. And then on CNN, you have a town hall with Sesame Street telling kids, go get the jab. Parents, for the love of God, do not get the vaccine. It's like wearing a diaper in case you have an accident, and then your next-door neighbor has an accident, and you still need to wear the diaper because even though your next-door neighbor messed up his pants. Well, what say you about the overreach of the government and the stupid jab?
You know, you got crazy, creepy Joe getting the jab on national TV. The same thing with the chameleon. And listen, if I'm not drawing the juice into that syringe and giving it to Crazy Joe myself, I don't believe that he's getting it. I don't. I think he got himself a shot of Geritol, which don't count, or you know, just some kind of placebo. The same thing with Kamala Chameleon. All these people that are on the inside of Washington, so to speak, the swamp. All right, let's call it what it is. It's the swamp. All those people that are in the swamp that Mr. Trump started draining, they're all getting these injections and shots in front of, you know, their constituents and in auditoriums, you know, at college campuses. It ain't nothing but a big GD show. It's ridiculous. Don't get the vaccine. If you want to get the vaccine, go ahead. All right. I'm not, don't listen to me. I'm not a doctor or anything, but I'm not getting the vaccine. I avoid wearing a mask 99.9% of the time. I don't want this vaccine in my body. You know, it's amazing. You got these people on the left saying that they could pull a baby out of your birth canal, you know, 2 minutes before its head pokes out and kill it. But yet they want to stick something else in you in another part of your body. You know, this is not working. You know, you have a choice. And that's what I am. I'm pro-choice. You want to have that abortion? Well, it goes against what I believe, but that's your body. You do what you want with it. And the same thing with this vaccine. You got other people saying, well, you get vaccinated when you're a newborn and this and that. Well, that stuff's been that's been proven decades over decades over decades. You know, how many polio cases we have? You know, things like that. How much of that do we have? Yet we see in Tennessee alone, when I checked the weather report, they put the COVID, you know, new COVID cases on with the weather. I guess everybody checks the weather. You know, we're looking at 300-400 new cases and, you know, 15 or 20 deaths, which is unfortunate. But that's every day. Now, it's been going on for 18 months. There's not that many people in Tennessee. If you add it all up, you know, 700 people getting it a day, you know, for 19 months, there's not that many people in Tennessee, you know, as far as populace goes. You know, so the same thing, you know, with New York, you had the King Twat Cuomo up there saying, you know, 897 people died today from COVID. Well, no, that just ain't true. You know, he didn't say how many people had COVID. He just said 800 died. Now, you know, like 750 die every day in New York anyway, from whatever reason, before COVID started. So, you know, where are you getting these statistics from? It's just unbelievable. You got people that have had their third booster shot and they die. You've had people that had the second shot and they die. You know, I just don't understand why the country is falling for get this shot or you won't be able to work. All right, well, if my place, you know, fires me, I'll go on unemployment. Or is there going to be a stipulation that you can't go on unemployment if you get fired for refusing the shot?
Well,
you know, this thing is so screwed up. They don't know what the hell they're doing.
Right. And they're saying, and state unemployment agencies are saying, well, we're not going to pay you unemployment for the refusal to get the vaccine. And in Chicago, the mayor's threatening, well, if you retire without getting the vaccine, you might not get your – you're not going to be able to – eligible for your pension, which goes against the collective bargaining agreement between the police unions and the city of Chicago. But it's just all about power. Remember when this first broke, the COVID verse came out, and then everybody that worked in first responders and medical personnel, they were given a hero's welcome. But now, you know, over time, you know, the police are the bad guys, and now in nurses and in medical people in hospitals are getting fired. We're living a crazy world. I can't wait to move out to the sticks. But anyways, I digress. But let's move right along about January 6th. Now, you and I, we talked about this before, and we said, you know, something's not right. This is some Bravo Sierra. And we said that Trump said, go to the Capitol Hill peacefully. And we put the clip on the website. But then all we heard was that racism and Trump supporters calling cops the N-word and fighting with cops. I mean, January 6th is the one day that the media supported the cops for 2021. But anyways, on Fox Nation, which I'm a free subscriber because I'm a veteran, Tucker Carlson is doing a three-part series on January 6th. What happened, and it is just absolutely jaw-dropping. He debunks everything about the Trump conspiracy, saying go and riot and fighting with the cops and so on and so forth. Another aspect was that you heard people yelling racial epithets. Well, our buddy Black Rosebud, Lonel Harris, was there. I was supposed to meet up with him, but they closed down D.C., and he was treated like a rock star, and nobody called him the N-word. But anyways, if you have Fox Nation or is able to get it somewhere, a bootleg, a bit shoot or something, please do. Because, I mean, some of the things he brought out were just amazing. But more or less, January 6th was a false flag perpetrated by professional agitators. Now, Carlson did extensive research. He got reporters and journalists that don't work for Fox to report on what they saw and report what happened. And it's just crazy. First of all, you have people, professional agitators coming out saying, oh, we need to storm the Capitol. We need to charge the Capitol. And some of the people were screaming at this guy who looked like an FBI agent. He had a clean shave. He had hair high and tight, wearing new clothes, even though he was trying to be like a you know, blue collar guy. And people were calling him a Fed. And anyways, you had that going on. You had people dressed up in black. They had wore all black clothes, carrying backpacks. And then when they got a chance, they changed out of all black clothing into Trump gear, which is kind of amazing. You didn't hear about that. And then when the protesters reached Capitol Hill, they got into one formation in one area that they did have a permit to protest, and the standard doing nothing. And next thing you know, you saw canisters of tear gas thrown in the crowd doing nothing. Then all hell broke loose. And then you have that Braveheart Viking guy walking through the chambers of Capitol Hill. He walked in the House chambers and was sitting down at Nancy Pelosi's seat, and there's a cop there doing nothing. He's like, I was like shaking my head. I was like, what's this cop doing? Put the guy in cuffs, calm down, call for backup, something. But anyways, we come back. We'll talk about January 6th and feeling sorry, taking pity on a millionaire. Check us out, 75radio.org. That's 75radio.org. Take away, boys.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Regrets? Oh, we're all gonna have them. Doesn't matter who you are, what you do. At some point, you're gonna wish you'd done something differently. You know, the woulda, coulda, shouldas. But let me tell you a couple of things you'll never regret. You'll never regret spending extra time talking to your teenager. Trust me. You'll never regret answering your three-year-old's question about where the water in the bathtub comes from. And I've never seen anyone wish they hadn't sat in the kitchen laughing with their children and telling them goofy stories about when they were kids. Yeah, sure, we're all gonna have regrets, but talking too much with our kids won't be one of them.
No matter what you talk about, love is what they'll hear.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march, that is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
All right, we are back. Last segment of 75 Radio on Liberty News Radio Network. This is the fastest hour in radio, so anyways, we'll make this real quick. January 6th, it was a false flag. Tucker Carlson found an expert who conducted false flag operations, and he said they ran the false flag playbook. So now, and then you had the co-conspirator, the dumpster fire media. I mean, they earned the title of fake news. And they, to this day, they still repeat the lie that Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick died after being assaulted with a fire extinguisher. And we read his name on the show in January that he did pass away. And we were really disgusted that people were attacking the cops. But it turns out that Officer Sicknick died of a stroke. He was not hit in the head with the fire extinguisher. But the media still says that Sicknick died from a head injury when somebody hit him in the head with a fire extinguisher. And then we don't see the media asking why 4 police officers committed suicide after January the 6th. These 4 officers from various departments, MPD, Capitol Police, and I'm trying to think of the other agency, they responded to the Capitol for the riot or whatnot, and then they just committed suicide, and nobody asked why. Then we're told Alex Jones and others were at the Capitol yelling at people with the bullhorns, hey, go fight the cops. Go charge the Capitol building. Go get him. No, that is not what happened. Alex Jones was on a bullhorn, screaming like a madman, saying, "Do not fight the police. They are our brothers. They are not the enemy." But you didn't hear that. All you heard was Alex Jones, the Proud Boys, the Proud Girls, saying, "You know, go get him." And then when we saw ad nauseum those 3-4 cops that did respond, being treated like war heroes, and then that fat cop was called a racial epithet. Well, how many times did you call the N-word working for New York's finest?
How many times I was called it?
Yep.
I was called it a number of times. I mean, working in the hood, you know, that's all they do to address each other, whether you're male or female. Police officer, fireman, you know, you pull up on a alleged robbery scene and all you hear is y'all niggas are too late. You know, it don't matter.
Right.
So
I mean,
that's just the way. That's just the language that they use. You know, if I got a black guy calling me that, it's not racist. It's in the hood vernacular or Jesse Jackson's Ebonics. But if I want to like blend in and say and call the guy on the street, you know, the same thing, now I'm a racist cop, you know, with white privilege.
Right.
So you know, of course I've been called it. You know, I'm still called it.
Right.
I still get called that. You know.
Right.
It's. You know, they should like change it a little bit. I mean, you know, like to like in Pulp Fiction, when you had Sam Jackson talking to Ving Rhames on the phone and said, "Okay,
right.
Negro, change it to that. That might be a little bit more accessible,
right.
acceptable." So
right.
Maybe
right.
I'll just start using that word because it hasn't been deemed, you know, biased or you know, racist, has it?
No, not yet.
Right? The N-word, the N-word is the derogatory term of Negro, I guess. I don't know. They don't even know why.
Right.
I don't even know why they call me white. I don't even know why they call me white, man. I'm Flash. Hey, Flash. Hey, Flash boy. You know, call me white boy. You know, I'm 63 years old. I'm still called a white boy. You
right.
know, so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Speaking of which,
you know,
we got a very special birthday coming up. But
yeah, Lou Ferrigno's birthday is on Tuesday.
But anyways, moving right along. So the dumpster fire media praised these cops for, you know, being called the N-word and this and the other thing. But and then the second part, the FBI was going after these two people, a couple from Alaska, for just being there. They were being accused of walking in the Capitol and vandalizing the Capitol. But they had a picture of a lady. It wasn't even a lady that they were questioning, and they were just absolutely harassing and intimidating these poor people that just happened to be there. But luckily they stood their ground. But other people, they're still in D.C. jail. They no bail, no nothing. They're still sitting there just suffering. But anyways, no Amnesty International, no ACLU, none of these people to get them out of jail for more or less trespassing. But anyways, hopefully they get their day in court. But anyways, finally, real quick, Netflix has a miniseries of some sorts with Colin Kaepernick. It's just abomination. You got this half black kid that was adopted by these white parents in upper middle class area, and then becomes a football player, not a very good one. But he was comparing the NFL combine and training camp to slavery. Like they're at the slavery block and bidding on these people. But you know what? These guys getting poked, prodded, examined, you know, it's called an investment. They're going to be paid at least $400,000 a year, up to many, many millions of dollars per year. These teams are putting a lot of money in these gentlemen and making them rich beyond their wildest dreams for playing a game. I mean, if they said, Scoop, go to the NFL Combine. You got a chance to make $400,000 plus. Go in a heartbeat. Anyways, he tried to compare it to slavery, but I had something similar. I went to the MEPS, Military Entrance Processing Station, for the exact same thing for a whopping salary of $18,000. Not $180,000, $18,000. But anyways, this idiot's got a big afro, even though he's half black. It looks like something from O.J. Simpson wore in the Naked Gun series. But, you know, I'm not going to feel sorry for a millionaire growing up in the in a white neighborhood with rich parents. I'm rooting for the white kid growing up in a poor black neighborhood who has to go to all-black school. But anyways, well, any closing thoughts on Colin Kaepernick and this horrendous waste of film, I guess, or time?
Well, no, not so much on Kaepernick. I mean, you know, the guy has I wouldn't call it a vendetta, but, you know, he's trying to make a point, and I think he's going about it the wrong way. That, you know, he should create an organization that's peaceful and compassionate when things happen between police and civilians, and vice versa. You know, I find myself in the position where I've been singled out by the local PD here in town, and that will come to head at the end of this month because I challenged a ticket in the courtroom, and I won, and I expected a freaking apology. And 9 months later, I ended up getting charged with disorderly conduct, you know, when I was talking to the officer, which is highly stupid on their part. Anyway, but as far as Kaepernick goes, he's been trying to hang on for how many years now since he's been out of the NFL? 4 years now?
I don't even know.
Guy's not going to get a job, you know, being a quarterback. Now he's overaged. He's aged out of that position. He needs to just, like, you know, open up an umbrella company or something and just go about his business. Who knows? The idiot might run for Congress one day. You know, who knows? And people will vote for him. And that's the problem. You know, people will vote for him when the guy has absolutely no platform to stand on, except he's been paid $20 million a year by slave owners, you know, out there in San Francisco. So, you know, the guy's got nothing to complain about. You don't have to like it. You know, there's things in this country that I don't like, but I don't use my platform to take a knee and do something disrespectful, you know, to the other people who just don't happen to believe in what he believes in. So, you know, again, it's old news. You know, every once in a while he's got to, you know, open up his mouth and get another 15 minutes of fame just to let us know he's still there. We know he's there. And guess what? We don't care.
Exactly. You know, just watching the trailer, it's a cringeworthy moment. I mean, he's worried about his hair And then he's in an elevator with his parents and some guys that, you know, looking like, oh, you okay? And the kid's like, hey, what about me? But anyways, I won't be watching that. But anyways, we made it to another show. Put this one in the can for Walter Yerkew. This is Peter Scoop Stanton telling everybody, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. Also, reach out to Walter on Facebook. His birthday is coming up. Give him a couple ducats, a couple kisses. Only if you're a lady. But anyways, Walt, have a very happy birthday. I'll be talking to you later this week. Everybody else, check us out, 75radio.org. 75radio.org. And stand by for a closing message from James Edwards.
This is James Edwards for 75 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.